So now the section is open for questions.
Thank you. That was a great session. So this is a question, I guess, for Aris and also for Suren. And my question is that when you think of central venous stenosis or particularly cephalic arch stenosis, surgery actually fixes all the reasons. I mean, it gets it away from the clavipectoral fascia. It gets it away from this issue of perhaps a lot of valves in this region of cephalic arch stenosis. And potentially, it gets it away from this issue of a curve. So why are the results from... So why are we not doing surgery more often? And I understand it could be difficult, but and also that the results may not be so good, but particularly to Suren for cephalic arch, I mean, is this something that we should be thinking of more aggressively and maybe bring it higher up in your algorithm?
Good question. I think I'm pretty much one of the few relics who do cephalic arch direct repair. And actually, I'm publishing that data within the next couple of months. The manuscript is pretty much ready. Answering your question, what surgery does? The way what I have described the surgery in the past, doing patch angioplasty using autologous vein or anything, they all come back. At variable period of time, if you repair the cephalic arch, it all comes back. And that was the surgery we have been doing. But I think surgery probably will fix the problem in the cephalic arch if you think of getting this diseased segment out and replace it completely with a new segment, which we have not done. Because I think what happens when you do patch angioplasty anywhere in a stenosed area, your diseased tissue, that is the scar tissue, is there. Scarred nature of scar tissue is to contract. So even if you cover it up with a small piece of patch which is healthy, the scar tissue is going to contract and the stenosis comes back.
That's fair enough. I was thinking more of the diagram that Aris showed, where you're really bringing the vein down and connecting it up below.
We've seen a number of those. First of all, there are not many places that are blessed to have a Dr. Shenoy working with them, and I think that's what limits our resources. But we've seen a number of those, and the problem is the vein anastomosis. Then that acts like a basilic transposition where they do a... And that becomes your swing segment, and that becomes recurrently pathologic.
I was actually going to ask about this arch angioplasty, which you described a few years ago. I tried to send a few patients. None of the surgeons there in Chicago are doing it. They just connect it to the axillary vein. They re-stenose and the same story. But my other question was central vein stenosis. We're talking about hero graft, catheter. In the presence of a lot of times, this is related to the cardiac implantation devices. In that scenario, would you still do it because it's a catheter sitting next to a lead? Just your thoughts on that. Hero graft in the presence of a cardiac implantation device. Is that advisable?
I missed the question. Hero graft?
In the presence, cardiac implantation devices causing central stenosis.
Yes.
And now one of the options we have for taking care of the central stenosis is to put a hero graft catheter. So in that such scenario, would you recommend it? Because there's a catheter, there's a lead, there's infection, the whole story.
First of all, hero graft, as far as I'm concerned, is a very niche product. You try to use it only in situations where you don't have any other option and you have a passable stenosis which has failed other options like PTA and stuff like that. And if you have a wire coming from the other side or anything like that, I don't see any problem because we put catheters routinely, external catheters. If at all, HERO is better because it's totally internalized and incidence of infection is much less compared to other catheters which are coming out. So this is a subcutaneous conduit. So what are the other options you have? If you had another option, probably you will check it. If you don't have an option.
As opposed to going for a thigh graft, say, for example, would you do this first, or would you go down to the groin if in that situation?
I think jury is out there. I don't think there is anybody who has shown that whether you should go for the lower extremity access first before losing all the upper extremity. The natural history of stenosis is it will thrombose eventually. So say there is a stenosis up there, and now we are going to go to a thigh graft and come back 2 years later. You don't have the stenosis, you can't get across. It is thrombosed already. So the question is, do you want to put HERO first and exhaust that and then go down? I don't know the answer.
Yeah, the answer is yes, do it, because if you can't get across later, you're screwed.
Next.
Fuad Qureshi from Mayo Clinic Health Systems. Dr. Urbanez, my question is for you. Basically, you showed a CT scan. It was a wonderful picture. The question is, should we all do central angiograms during inspiration? And when, especially when we are planning to put a stent there, if they are recurrent, should we do that? And the second question is, do you do always central angiograms during inspiration?
Yes. So answer to the second question, yes. After I've learned about this, yes, I do them in full, deep inspiration. Whether or not you do it, I think you might pick up a few that are certainly much more exaggerated with exhalation or quiet exhalation. I think there is value to be had with a deep inspiration venogram. The other thing that I will mention is that it is still unclear as to what the treatment is of a brachiocephalic vein extrinsic compression, either from the aorta or brachiocephalic artery or branches thereof, because you have a fixed bony sternum against a pulsatile aorta, and then you're going to put in metal in between. Okay? So it's not clear if you should stent that, if you find it. Certainly angioplasty won't work because it's an extrinsic compression. Whether or not you stent it is another issue. And if you stent it, is it safe to do that? I don't think there's an answer to that, and I purposely left that out.
Thank you.
I'd just like to make one comment on taking pictures of the central veins. It's actually more comfortable for your patient when they hold their breath if they do it on an inspiration, right, at least psychologically for them.
You know, I'm not sure that one should be confused by that compression lesion. It looks different.
It's extrinsic. You can know.
I mean, a stenosis tapers down fore and aft, whereas that has a straight edge on it, and it's a very characteristic looking. I think it should not be a point of confusion.
Right.
That you might have stenosis.
You're not going to get anywhere.
And I've never seen a patient. I've seen patients with collaterals, behind that, but I've never seen a patient symptomatic from it.
Yes.
Next.
One comment about the question before, talking about the cardiac rhythm devices in the HERO. You still end up in the path of the SVC. The cardiac rhythm leads will be in contact with the HERO device if you're leading to the SVC. So I think that's what...
But how's it made? Remember, Vesely once gave a great talk. You're looking at a picture that has a little piece of metal line going down, and that's your lead. But it's encased in a 10 French solid rock of plastic. You're not even going to go near that lead. Don't worry about it.
I'm talking about the chance of a HERO infection with the device in place. I think you run a high risk.
What's the difference of putting a stent across the central vein when you have leads in there and risk of infection? We do it all the time.
I think it's still something to consider and think about, too, if you're going to go after that route with the leads and the HERO device in the same place.
I won't mind if anyone of you crucify for me asking this question, but we talked about central venous stenosis, and we are pretty close to central venous occlusion. There are some centers and some facilities which do talk about radiofrequency ablation, laser excision for gaining access. Again, what are your thoughts about it? And you can tell me briefly an evidence-based opinion about these procedures and their outcomes. Personal experience, I don't do them, but from what we analyzed retrospectively on these patients, the outcomes aren't good, but I'd like to get input from the rest of you all here.
Okay. I don't know, there's no literature on getting across these things, but what we know is this: whether you burn it, freeze it, chop it out, stick a hard needle through it, do whatever you want, and then balloon in and stent it, your patency rates are the same, so it doesn't really matter.
And also, you got to know there's complications with this unguided needle puncturing or you basically drill through in certain areas without guidance, and you got to think about liability for doing this. For some institute, they have CT-guided tools, and anybody really knows what's going on, you can try. But I will say we're not at that stage yet. One more question.
Sorry, I wanted to, this might sound kind of silly, but I'm presuming that Dr. Urbanez's patient was in the center for a reason. They had maybe an arm swelling or perhaps a poor KT over V, and that's why they presented, and that's why you were thinking of angioplasting that lesion. My question is, if you did an angioplasty of that lesion and they had a swollen arm or poor KT over V, what have you, how did that help?
That was actually an asymptomatic patient. It was incidentally discovered.
Interesting.
Patient came in for difficult cannulation because they had a new technologist who can get the needle in. Okay, that's why they came in.
Second thing here is I wanted to get Dr. Shenoy's opinion. You know, in these cases where there is this tight area, you know, there is clavicle and this area of the thoracic outlet, what are your thoughts of doing the rib resection or clavicle manipulations, resections to cure this?
Cephalic arch is different from thoracic
outlet. Not cephalic arch.
Thoracic outlet, yeah. There is some literature, and there are at least one or two centers which consider doing rib resection or doing a thoracic outlet opening procedures, like, you know, scalene resection or something like that. If you can identify and show that the central venous obstruction is secondary to thoracic outlet obstruction, which does happen but not very frequently, then, yeah, that is the treatment for it. And people have done that. Again, not much of experience or literature out there to say what is the patency. And remember, all these things are done for people as an end-stage resort. I mean, there's nothing else we can do, so we try to keep the access going as much as possible.